Educational Communications and this station present Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman. On this series, we explore the effects of human influence on the Earth's ecosystems and discuss solutions to environmental problems which affect the quality of life on this planet. Environmental Directions gives you the kind of information you need to help you participate in decisions impacting your community, the nation, and the world. Now, here's your host, Nancy Perlman.
Hello. We're going to be talking about early Hollywood celebrities and famous historic sites with my guest, Romy Nordlinger. She is a screenwriter, playwright, producer, and performer in film, theater, and television, has been a narrator for over 350 audiobooks, and is a teaching artist. She's written over 6 plays and performed in so many more, including her most recent, where she does a solo production of Garden of Allah, the Allah Nasimova story. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you.
You are currently in New York, but your production is going to be in North Hollywood in July at Theater West. This is a very famous old theater production company in Los Angeles area.
And lovely people, too.
But you have written a play about a place that no longer really exists. It's called Garden of Allah, the Allah Nasimova story. Mm-hmm. Allah is spelled A-L-L-A, not with an H, because it's actually the name of a very iconoclastic actress from the silent screen area who was a Jewish immigrant, came to Hollywood, has fought homophobia, sexism, racism, anti-Semitism, ageism, and was very active in the early LGBTQ community. And she created not actually a garden, but a hotel on Sunset Boulevard and Laurel Canyon that brought in very famous celebrities from that era, including Charlie Chaplin, Marlene Dietrich, Greta Garbo, Earl Flynn, Rudolph Valentino, Cole Porter, F. Scott Fitzgerald. So why is this woman so important for us to know about?
For a few reasons. And of those legendary stars, you would say it's easier to say who didn't check in than who did. It was a haven for the great stars, for producers, composers, directors, playwrights. Outside of that, why was Nasimova herself so important? She was a meteoric success, much like a Lady Gaga of her times, a Madonna. They named a Broadway theater after her that nobody knows existed. The Schuberts named that after making them $4 million in sold-out runs, equivalent to something like $140 million today, and then went on to become one of the first female writer, directors, and producers in Hollywood. The first art film, Salome, it's known as the first art film and one of the landmark LGBTQ films in our history, and yet her story has been all but silent. She was ahead of her times. She was a trailblazer, and she was a woman who just went too far. So her story has been all but written out of the history books. Time to bring back our collective stories. So the timing of this story is more important now than ever, as schools are cutting out important stories about LGBTQ history.
Your production is just delightful to bring back that story. And of course, there are so many aspects of a story. It must have been hard to decide what to write into your play and what to leave out.
Very good observation it is. And how do you sum up a life in an hour? And it's an hour and 20 minutes. It runs straight through. How do you decide? Going back to the environment and the architectural juxtaposition of this show, her very essence, her heart, was in her Garden of Allah, the legendary place, the party that never ended. F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote himself a postcard to remind himself of where he had been there. Dear Scott, how are you? I've been meaning to come in to see you. I've been staying at the Garden of Allah. It was a place of liberty. It was a beautiful garden, yes, but it was such an important landmark in Hollywood, such amazing Hollywood history. There was the birth of the sewing circle. It's a code for all women's gatherings. It was a place where people could come out, be themselves. And I do mean come out with the little quotes marks around it. It was ahead of its time, and it was a place of liberty.
It was actually considered the Camelot of Hollywood.
That's correct.
Originally, it was a mansion, but she turned it into an hotel when her film acting career wasn't going so well. She needed some income, and they had these 30 bungalows spread out on the site so that the celebrities could go in and out all night and not be seen having affairs with each other and with others.
That was one of the reasons, but this great Camelot could not last after she lost all her money. This was after her Salome, considered the first art film, and it was wild, so wild, this film. She did that on her own dime. She lost all of her money and had to sell her Garden of Allah, this beautiful place, and it was turned into a hotel and then a shoddy boarding house. Very, very sad story, really.
This site has a modern history to it because a very famous architect, Frank Gehry, was going to design something and build something there. Right now, it's sort of a mishmash of commercial shopping mall.
It was a McDonald's, and first, before the McDonald's, there was a Lytton Bank, then there was a McDonald's and a Chase Bank, and then they tore all of those down recently so Frank Gehry could erect this beautiful building. And unfortunately, it was, I believe, certain city council, something about views, it's not going to be built. However, that people don't know this story, this paved paradise and put up a parking lot story, this legendary story, our history, our herstory, might drive by it every day and not know that existed. 8080 Sunset Boulevard, the end of the line where it all began. She built it when Hollywood was still an unpaved dirt track.
Indeed, it was at the end of Sunset Strip on the west side of Hollywood, north of West Hollywood now. I have driven by that location for decades and never realized the history of this place, what kind of architectural Hollywood activity was going on. Even in the 1970s, when Joni Mitchell wrote a song about paved paradise and put up a parking lot, sort of based on this place?
That is one of those stories. Nobody has proved decisively. Nevertheless, whether it's written exactly for the Garden of Allah or not, and I think it is, felt very apropos, it certainly is the perfect song for the sort of the tragic ending of our erasing of history and paving paradise and putting up a parking lot. As far as the garden, she loved to garden. Azimova, that was where she lived also. Not just the parties, but it was a place she talks. I read all of her journals, not all of them, but a lot of material. And she talks so, so passionately about her gardening and her trees and her flowers. Lemon tree she planted and the hyacinths. And I create a picture, the smells, the feeling of being in that time and what she was surrounded with. But when I was writing about her, one of the reasons wasn't just that she was such a meteoric success and that we must remember we are standing on the shoulders of giants, trailblazers who did these things alone and without a Twitter account, fighting ageism and sexism and all of this way before we've even could address or talk about these things. But the thing that really drew me to her was reading about her becoming a guest inside of her own mansion on Sunset Boulevard, her Garden of Allah, her home, and becoming a guest. She wrote about the lemon trees I planted. I could look out of the window and see my lemon trees. Life is what you make of it. If you don't bend, you will break. And as long as your mind is alive, they can't take anything away from you. And I thought, now this is a woman who needs to be spoken about because not only of her, of course, meteoric success, and why have we not heard about her, but because of the way she lived her life, and somebody that could come to a situation where they are a guest inside that particular house and just find and thrive by looking out in a little bungalow as a guest inside of her own torn-down Garden of Olives that's been turned into a hotel, and just thrive.
And as we know, nature, whether or not it's in a planted garden or in the wild, provides so much inspiration to people. And your play has been critically acclaimed all over the country, including at the Kennedy Center, the Players Club, Theater Lab, the Cutting Room, here Arts Theater, Theater 555, internationally at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. It is enlightening production, superb. I hope everybody gets to go see it, learn about the story. But let's clarify the ironic spelling again, because your play is The Garden of Allah, A-L-L-A, because her name is Allah Nasimova, but yet she named her garden Garden of Allah with the H. Can you explain that?
That's an excellent question. There are different bits of conjecture about this, but ultimately she named it after herself, her Garden of Allah, A-L-L-A. When it was taken over and purchased in 1959, by the president of Lytton Savings and Loan, they added an H to it and made it the Garden of Allah Hotel.
You have written many other plays. I can't list them all. How do you incorporate an environmental theme in your different plays when you're talking about famous people, famous places, famous things that have occurred, important issues, whether or not it's the current issue for rights, for human rights, but we also need environmental rights. We have so many critical ecological issues. How do you include those when you're talking about other stories?
That's a very good question. Yes, now more than ever. I mean, I read incessantly about the environment. I am very aware. I do everything I can. I'm becoming more and more vegan. I want to help sustain by not eating animals, mistreating animals, but also the methane that's going up into our environment. We are on one earth. The human condition is what I write about. Whenever you can touch something real, such as why people are moved by seeing the Garden of Allah and seeing somebody who cared deeply and realizing and seeing their own sort of underdog stories reflected, or being able to express a part of yourself, we are appropriating our human environment within ourselves. We are helping to humanize. Anything that can help us become closer to ourselves and our own shared humanity will have environmental repercussions.
So certainly true, and I encourage everybody to attend your wonderful play that you have written, your wonderful production, excellent performance.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so very much for creating that, making it available to us, and thank you for being my guest.
Thank you so much, and I admire what you do more than ever now. It's so important, so thank you, thank you, thank you. I just wanted to add that one very exciting element on top of it is that the show has not been performed on the West Coast before, and so this will be its West Coast premiere, and it is, which is for me so exciting to bring Nasimova back to her stomping grounds. And the actual site of the Garden of Allah is only about 4 miles away from the theater, and I just get goosebumps.
And Theater West is on Cahuenga Boulevard West near Universal City Walk, so it is accessible, and you'll be performing there from July 7th through July 23rd. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have been speaking with Romy Nordlinger, who is a screenwriter, playwright, producer, and performer in film, theater, and television, and has the solo production Garden of Allah, the Allah Nasimova story. I'm Nancy Perlman. Thank you very much for joining us, and do tune in again next week.
If you would like free information about these environmental issues, go to www.ecoprojects.org or call 310-559-9160. Environmental Directions with your host, Nancy Perlman, is a community affairs program of the nonprofit organization Educational Communications and this station.